Now let's begin Masechta Erevin, Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, middle of that particular city. The Gemara then discusses cities that are shaped like a keshes, like a bow, or like a triangle, or a number of other shapes. We say that we make a square of 2,000 amos around the city. So we don't just measure the city limits and draw a circle around it, but we go to Kula, and we draw a complete square around every corner of the city, and we have 2,000 amas that go out from that point. So we use the corners also, which give you a little extra space. We say that bridges, cemeteries with houses, and huts, which are referred to as Burginen, and also islands, are all included as part of the city limits. We then say, Kol ir she'ein ba yerek, ein talmud chacham, rishai lodur. Any city which does not have cheap vegetables, so it's not roi for a Talmud Chacham to live in this. What this really means is if a lot of food is not available in that city and it's expensive, then we'll have bitul Torah, because a Talmud Chacham will have to work more to be able to earn more money, so he should be able to buy the food. Daf Nun Vav. On a short winter day, the sun rises in the southeast and sets in the southwest. And of course, the sun always swings through the southern sky. So in other words, the sun rises in the southeast, it moves into the southern sky, and then sets in the southwest. And you'll notice if you're in an area where there's snow a lot in the winter, like Chicago, for example, where I spent a number of years of my life, you'll notice that if you look on streets that are facing the north and the south, the houses on the north side of the street, the snow will always melt first, before the house on the southern side of the street. The reason is very simple, because since the sun swings across the southern sky during the course of the day, houses that are on the northern side get the benefit of that sunlight. So they will melt quicker. The Gemara also says that on the equinox, which is March 21st and September 21st, when those seasons begin, the sun rises directly in the east and sets exactly in the west, but of course swinging around the southern sky. We say that the amount of time between each of the tkufas, between each of the seasons, is 91 days and 7.5 hours. We also say that the tchum of the Arei Leviya was exactly 2,000 amos. Daf Nun Zayin. A square is 1/4 larger than the space of the circle within it. And we say that the diagonal of a square, in other words, you have a square and you draw a diagonal line through the square, the distance between the two points of this diagonal is 1.414 times the length of one side of that square. We then have a Mishnah that says, Remeir says, we give an extra 70 2/3 amas before Vitchum actually begins outside the city. So Vitchum begins, you go to the city limit, then you walk 70 2/3 amas, and at that point Vitchum begins. The Chachamim argue on this, and they say the only time you have this kula is when we have to do this between two cities. So in other words, if we're talking about two cities near one another, then in measuring the distance, you go 70 2/3 amas away from the city, and then you begin to measure over 2,000 amas. Otherwise, you do not rely on this heter. And there's a machlokes in the Gemara what this means with the 70 2/3 amas. Rav Huna says, one for each of the two cities. Each of the two cities gets 70 2/3 amas. Rav Chiya Bar Rav says only one times 70 2/3 amas in total. We pass them like Rav Meir in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Tzadik Ches, Sifhei, since we pass them Halacha Kedivrei HaMekel B'Eiruvin. Daf Nun Ches. We have a Mishnah that also passes Lakula, but the slope of a mountain does not count within the 2,000 amas. So you get 2,000 complete amas, and if there is a mountain or something in between, a slope of some sort, that does not count in the 2,000 amas. And that distance, it was as if you'd be drawing a direct line underneath the mountain. We then have a Gemara that says, we measure the tchum with a rope that is 50 amas long and made with aspakuma, which is something like a linen type of material. This is basically for consistency. And lahavdil, for example, in a football game, for example, where they're measuring a first down, they use a specific type of a chain which has a consistent measurement across all games, so they have a consistency. The same thing lahavdil here in the Gemara. Use this type of a material so you have a consistent measurement of what the 50 amas length of this rope are, and what that leads you to the total of 2,000 amas. We then have a Mishnah that says, Ein Moedidin Ela B'Mumcha. You only do the measurements of the 2,000 amas with someone who is a mumcha. Rashi says this means an expert, and Tosfos says this means along a trodden path. It has to be something which is normally used. What do we do if we get two measurements? You measure it, you get two different measurements. So we always take the bigger one. We always go the kula. We also say, Afilu Eved Ashivcha Nemanin L'tchum. Dafnun Tes. We have a Mishnah that says, Ir Shayachid V'nasis Sharabim, meaning to say there was a city that had less than 600,000 people, and then it became a city of more than 600,000 people. Marvinis Kula. You have to now put an Erev around it because it's considered Ir Shasharabim. But if you have the opposite case, V'sharabim V'nasis Shayachid, it was Ir Shasharabim, and now it became less than 600,000 people. Ein Marvinis Kula. You do not have a Chiyav of Erevin around that. We then say a sulam, speaking about a ladder. Sulam taras pasach alav, vegam kein taras mechitz alav. In other words, we paskin lekula the erevin. If you have a sulam, which is a ladder, it can either be counted as a pasach, or it can be counted as a mechitza, depending on which is lekula. So for example, if we're talking about a case where it could potentially be used as a pasach, we say that it doesn't constitute a pasach, and therefore it's lekula. We then speak about a daka. A daka is referring to people who make a small entrance at the end of a mavui to separate themselves from the rest of the city. It doesn't interfere with the big area of the city in total. What is a daka exactly? Rashi says this is a low doorway, and Tosfos says this is a mechitza over four tvachim high. Daf samach. A wall that is lined with many ladders is still considered a mechitza. We then ask a question. As we come in the Mishnah Berurah, in Shulchan Aruch, Shin Tzadik Beis Halacha Zayin, we paskin that in order for something to be considered an Ir Shel Rabim, we have to exclude part of the city in order for us to be able to make an Erev. So the question is, why don't we do this today? And we answer, we're Seimech on the Shita of Rashi, that our cities really aren't considered a Rishus HaRabim at all, since we don't have 600,000 people in those cities. Also, we say, since there are Goyim that are living in the cities, they're not really part of the Erev, and they act as this exclusion. They act as this part of the city, which is excluded from the city in total. We then have a Mishnah that says, if a personal Erev is in Chal, then a person uses his house. His house becomes the base for the Tchum. If he puts the Erev within 70 and two-thirds Amas area outside the city, as we had said before, that people have not only city limits, but have 70 and two-thirds amas outside of the city also, until we begin counting the 2,000 amas of the Tchum. The Mishnah says if a person puts the Erev within this 70 and two-thirds amas, he accomplishes nothing. We then say if the Tchum terminates in the middle of a second city, then a person is not allowed to walk beyond that point in the second city, and he does not have the full city completely to walk within. Daf Samach Aleph. A city next to a river. If there is a daka, a board, which is more than dalet amas, we measure the extent of the tchum from the river's bank, since that's considered now an integral part of the city. We then have a Mishnah that says, Anshe ir gadola mahalchen esir katana, and vice versa. This is when they're near each other, but not if they're more than 141 amas apart. Rabbi Akiva says, it doesn't matter whether they're near each other, whether it's a small city or a big city. In any case, you always have only up to 2,000 amas to walk. And once you get into that ir katana, you can only walk up to the point of 2,000 amas total, but you cannot walk the entire city. Let's say a person puts a tchum in a desolate city. According to the Rabbanan, he could walk only up to 2,000 amas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if the city could potentially become inhabited, he then has the whole city to walk in. That's his makom shvitza. And he has an additional 2,000 amas beyond that point. That's the end of the fifth Perek. Now let us begin the sixth perek of Masechet Erevin, Perek Hadar, on Daf Samach Aleph Amud Beis. As a hakdama to this perek, let's talk for a minute about bittel rishus. If one person in a chotzer is not mishtatef in an erev that was made by all the other people in this chotzer, then no one is allowed to carry at all from their houses into the chatzar, because this one person is now not part of the Erev. However, this person who is not part of the Erev can be mevatel his reshus to everyone else, and then it's mutter for everyone else to carry. And this bittul can be done even on Shabbos. If, however, one of the residents of this chatzar is a guy, then an Erev is not enough, and not only that, bittul reshus will not help either. This guy cannot be mevatel his reshus. The only way you can get around this is that the Nachri rents his share of the chatzar to everyone else, and then they can make an Erev, and it would be mutter to carry in this chatzar. So we have a Mishnah that says, Hadar im ha'akum b'chatzar, if you live with a guy in this chatzar, it's usher to carry there. This is the sheet of Remeir. Why is this so? Since the guy cannot be included, the only way that it would be mutter is that you rent the rights from him. If you rent the rights from him, Remeir would say, then it's okay. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov says, this chumra only applies if there are two Jewish apartments. However, if there's one, then it's lakula. Daf Samach Beis. Remeir holds diras oved kachavim is shmei dira. Now, this whole question about renting it from the guy, what does that mean exactly? Rav Sheisha says the rental has to be re'ua. It has to be just a token rental. And Rav Chizda says it has to be bria. It has to be a mamish, a strong rental. We also say that a rental payment can be made even with a pachas mishava pruta. The Chachamim then say, we only consider an akum, a member of the chatzar, if he's mamish there. And we say this because Shema Yilmud Mimaisav, if he's there, we're afraid. We're worried about all these things with the guy being there. Because Shema Yilmud Mimaisav, we're afraid a person's going to learn from the guy, and he'll come to be Oivir Isurim. However, if he's gone, if he's away that Shabbos, then a Jew can carry any time in the Chatzar, as long as you make an Erev, because Dira B'lei Balam, Leishme Dira. We also talk about the Nafkamina between a Halacha and a Minig. And we say we paskin like Rabbi Yezer ben Yaakov, because he is Kav Vinoki. And the same applies here. Kavanoki means he's only brought down a few times, and wherever he's brought down, he's Noki, he's very glatt, he's very clean. The Gemara then discusses the Isser of Hoira Talmud Bifnei Rabbi, paskening shilas in front of his Rabbi. Rav Huna was so machmir, he didn't even paskin in front of his Rabbi on an easy case, like the case of Kutach, which the Gemara brings down. Daf Samach Gimel. A Talmud Chaver, if a person is a Talmud Chaver, in that case he would be allowed to paskin in front of his Rebbe. And we see that, for example, Rav Hanuna was a Talmud Chaver by Rav Chizda. The Gemara says it's okay to paskin afilu bifnei rabbi on a shchita, if the shchita is for you to eat. And we also say that it's okay to paskin before a person's Rebbe, if it will prevent somebody from coming to do an Isser. We then say, mele halacha bifnei rabbi chayev misa. And we see this by Nodav and Aviyu. Let's say, Shalai Befanav, are you allowed to paskin Shalai Befnei Rabbi? Then there's an Isser, but there's no Misa. And we see this in Yeredeya, Simon, Reish, Membeis. We bring down a Taisvis that says, what is the shear of Befanav or Shalai Befanav? Befanav means your Rabbi is within 12 mil of where you are. This is the size of the Machne Yisrael. The Gemara then says, Kala Naisen, Kala Mat Naisen, Lukayen Echad. Maybe Rav Le'olam, a person should not give all of his truma to a kohen, but rather he should give it to a number of different kohanim. We then say, Kol ha'maisif mila kamei rabbe, any person who adds a word in front of his rabbi, azal akever b'lei vlad, he will die without a child, a son. And we see this from Bayan Yoshua ben Nun, Yoshua who paskins in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara then asks, why did Yoshua not have a son? So one answer is because he was Mayor Halacha Bifnei Rabbah. The second answer is because he prevented the whole Klal Yisrael from doing Piriyah Verivya for one night. The commandment says, Godol Talmud Torah Yoyser Mehakrovas Tmidit. Daf Samach Dalet. If a person drank a revius of wine, he should not paskin halachas. Shasa revius yayin al yayra. The commandment says, Kol ha'emir shmua zu na'a. Vizu einanah, Shmua meaning a halacha. Any person who says that, this halacha I like, this halacha I don't like, ma'abed hainish al Torah. He loses the honor of Torah. The Rambam brings this halacha down, and within the same context, he adds that a kohen is not allowed to serve in Kahuna after drinking wine. You see this also in Shulchan Aruch, Simon, Tzadik, Tes. If a person inherits a big Yerusha or a windfall, he should insure it by buying a Sefer Torah or Tefillin. We then say Shasoi, if a person drank a little bit of wine, Al Yispal, he shouldn't be Mispal. Vim Yispal, but if let's say he does, Tfilase, Tfila, his Tfila is considered good. If he's Shikr, which means he's really drunk, Vim Yispal, Tfilase Tayeva, then his Tfila is a Tayeva. The Gemara then says if a person walks a meal, or if he sleeps a little, that takes away the effect of if a person drank a little bit of wine. However, if he's Shikr, this doesn't help either. We then say, Shleisha Dvarim Lamdu Mirabin Gamliel B'maisachon. We learn three things from Rabban Gamliel at one time. One of them is, Ein Mavir Na'al Eichlin. A person shouldn't leave Eichel on the floor since it's a Bizayin. Number two, Chomtzeh Shal Nachri Mutar B'hanah Achre Pesach. And number three, Ein Mafirin Nindarin Ela Yoishvin Shatzarech Paiskin B'charata. A person should not be made for neder unless he is sitting down. Why? Because you need paischin b'charata. What does this mean? A person has to have a very good reason to ask for charata before we can be made for neder. So in order for the Rav to be able to hear this and concentrate well, if taket was something that was substantial charata, he has to be able to sit to be able to concentrate. According to Rav Nachman, afilu maharech, reichev, or anything else, it's okay. A person doesn't have to necessarily be sitting and concentrating, but whatever he's doing, whether he's walking, whether he's riding on a horse, he could also be made for neder. Because what Nachman holds, ein paischin b'charata. We don't have to be chayshu for that. Finally, the Gemara Mishnah says, anyone who makes a neder, any neder, is ready to be pierced with a sword. Kol abayte rei l'dikare b'cherev. Daf samachay. A shikr who makes a business deal. We say that this business deal is chal. And if he did an avera, he's also chayev. However, if he reached a level of shichrusei shalait, he was so shikr, just like light, and then he's putter from any avera. And the Rama in Tzadik Tes says that today we're mako for a shasui to daven. Why is this so? And this is even lechatchila he paskins. Since wines today are not as strong as they used to be, and also since today we daven with the help of a siddur, a person won't get that mixed up as long as he's just shasui, he drank a little bit. Mishnah Berurah says it's better to really wait. And this is why on Simchas Torah, the Kohanim Duchen and Shacharis instead of Musaf, because we want to make sure that they're roi, be able to duchen properly. Finally, the Gemara says that one should have Yishuv Hadas when he davens. There's a discussion here in the Gemara if nights are better for learning or for sleeping, and if learning is better by day or by night. The Gemara then brings down Amar Rabbi Lai, Bishleisha Dvarim Adam Nikar. A person is tested in three ways. Bikaisai, with his cup, in other words, how much he drinks and if he gets drunk. Ubikisai, how honest he is with his money. Ubekase, and if he gets angry or not. And some people say also he's tested with his laughter. Let's say we have a case of Yisrael of a Nachri Bipnimis. We have a Yisrael and a Nachri who live in the inside of a chatzar, the Yisrael Bichitzayna. So it's also for the Chitzayna to carry until he rents the rights from a Nachri. And according to Rameir, this is true, even if only one Jew lives with a guy, it's also considered usser until he rents the rights. The Gemara then says, Tein lachacham v'yachkim oid. If you give a Talmud chacham information, he'll get even smarter with that information. We then ask, is it mutter to lease the rights of a guy on Shabbos mamish? Rav Chanina Rav Yosef says yes, since we say Seicher is kimavatl rishustami, and since we know bittel is okay on Shabbos. So leasing the rights of a guy is also a Kan Shabbos. And Rav Asi says no, since Seicher is Kima Arev Dami. And just like an Erev you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you have to do it before Shabbos. The same thing with renting the rights from a guy. Daf Samach Vav. Ma'arev v'Seicher mutter afilu pachas mipruta. Ma'arev v'Seicher is mutter afilu b'makam nachri. And Ma'arev v'Seicher, im yesh chamisha anashim b'chatzar, echam ma'arev l'kuna. If you have five people in the chatzar, one person can be ma'arev for everyone. We then say there's a machlekes if bitl rishus, if there im yesh bitl rishus mechatzer lechatzer ubechurva. Shmuel says no, and Rabbi Yochanan says yes. And why according to Shmuel do we say there is no bitl rishus mechatzer lechatzer? Because a person should be worried only about his own chatzer. He can carry if as long as he can make an erev around his own chatzer and he can carry in that chatzer, he really doesn't need the other chatzim. Therefore, we're not matzivan according to the shita of Shmuel. But we end up paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, and we say there is bitul rishus mechatzer lechatzer. Then the Gemara brings down different cases of inner chatzeris and outer chatzeris, and people who were accidentally left out, and the different scenarios of bitul rishus. Taf samach zayin. Here we have the concept of achta, dasha, umishtamsha. This is referring to what this specifically means, is we close our door, and we are mistalek from the b'nei chitzayna. How do we do this? By closing the door, we end up being mistalek from them completely. Therefore, we can carry in our inner chatzar by being mevatel the rishus from the people in the chitzayna. We then ask a question, if a guy dies on Shabbos, can you then be mevatel rishus to carry? Rav Sheshes says yes, Rav Nuna says no, and we pass him like Rav Sheshes that you can. If a guy has a second exit into a bika or a karpa of Yoyser Mibes Asayim, so we say this becomes his main entrance, and the entrance into the Mavoi does not aser it for everyone. However, we say that if a Jew has a second exit by a karpa of Yoyser Mibes Asayim, then we say just the opposite, he asers it for everyone. The Gemara then says, Sala Shavayam Galea Asara Berechav Arba Ein Betaltalin Mitaychai Liyam. And that's because you're now carrying from Rishus HaYachid into a Carmelis. The Gemara also says that at any size field, as long as it has Machitzas, is considered a Rishus HaYachid. Finally, we have the case of Ahu Yanuka, which is a baby that Bris Mila was supposed to be on Shabbos. So you wanted to wash the baby with hot water. And what happened? All the hot water spilled out. So we know according to the Shita of Rabbi Eliezer, Hachana LeMila is usser. Only the Mila is mutter on Shabbos. So technically it would be usser to make hot water now before the bris. But we say that it's okay to ask a guy to bring the water, since this is a shvus. Amir al-Akim is a shvus to Rabbanim, and it doesn't involve a maisa by a Jew, so it's okay to ask this guy to do it for the bar mitzvah. We do bring down a taisvus in Gittin Daf Ches Amid Beis, where Taisus brings a Bahag. And the Bahag says, Amir la'akam is mutter with Dvar Mitzvah, even when we're dealing with a Doraisa. But Taisus says, the only reason it's mutter by a case of Bris Mila, this kind of a case, is because it's a Shvus to Shvus, B'makam Mitzvah. What's the Shvus to Shvus? Number one, we're telling a Nachri. And number two, Erev Chatzeres is a Shvus. Really, it's mutter to carry in a Chatzer. But Erev Chatzeres, so you have the two Shvusim, Midrabanan. Therefore, since the Shvush the Shvush B'makam Mitzvah, that's why it would be Mutter. And we have a Machlekes, Machaber and Ramah, regarding this. In Shin Lamed Aleph Sifvav, the Machaber paskins like Taisus, but the Ramah paskins like the Bahag, that it's okay to have a Goy do it even a Daraisa by Mila, since otherwise you'd have to push off the Mila if you wouldn't be able to have the Goy do the Malacha for you. Daf Samach Ches. Meis babayis, a person dies in a particular house, yesh lei psachim harbe, and there are many openings or many exits out of the house, hakol tmei, and we say that all of these exits are considered tamei. We say this halach l'mishim misinai. This is because of the klal of soif tuma latzeis, since eventually one of the exits will be needed to take the body out, and we don't know which exit is going to be used. Therefore, all of them become tamei. However, if let's say only one of the exits are open and all of the rest of them are closed, that exit becomes tamei, but all the other exits are tahar, because we know that that is the exit that is probably going to be used to take out the mace. So if a person is standing by one of these exits, he may be tamei or tahar, depending on whether all of them are open or just one of them is open. A baby that water spills, the case that we had before. Rava makes a suggestion on how you could get hot water for the baby. He suggests that you should see if the mother of the baby needs hot water, and then you can have the guy warm up hot water for her. Why? Because a mother at this point is considered a chayla, and it's okay to have a nachri do malacha for her. Therefore, once they warm up hot water for the mother, they could also warm up hot water for the baby. The Rishayim uses as a raya against the Bahag, because before we said according to the Bahag that Amir al-Akum is mutter even by a mitzvah, even by a daraisa. And here, what do we see? We see that you're not allowed to do it for the baby himself, but you have to do it for the mother. Therefore, we see this may be a raya against the Bahag. We then have a machlokes Rav and Shmuel regarding the question if a person is allowed to be mevatel and chayzer u'mevatel. What does this mean? This means we know that a person is allowed to be mevatel his reshus on Shabbos. Let's say a person is not one of the participants within an Erev. He messes it up for everybody else who is surrounding that chatzer. So we say that there's an eitzah for that. A person can be mevatel his reshus to everybody else around that chatzer. The question is, once a person is mevatel his reshus to somebody else, is it possible that this other person can be mevatel the reshus back to him? According to Rav, which is how we paskin, we say yesh mevatlin v'chayzun mevatlin. According to the Shmuel, we say ein mevatlin v'chayzun mevatlin. You cannot do that. Once it's given to that person, he cannot give it back to him at all. We also paskin like Rabbi Yechanan that we say yesh bitl reshus mechatzer lechatzer. And finally, we have a machlokes in a Mishnah. What is a tztuki? A tztuki, according to the Tanakhama, is considered like a nachri, and according to Rabbi Gamliel, it's eno. He's eno kenachri. Daf samachtas. Misha nasan reshusai v'haitzi bein b'shegig bein b'mezid. Remeir says it's usher for everybody now to carry. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it was b'shegig, then it's yachal. If it was b'mezid, then it's not. We then say there's an afkamina but mumar l'chal Shabbos b'farhesia. For somebody to be considered a mumar, does it have to be chilul Shabbos b'farhesia or b'tzina? We then have Rashi, and Rashi paskins a machal Shabbos is considered a machal Shabbos, even if he's only Iver and Isser, the Rabbanan. The Gemara then brings down a mumar, b'gili ponim, a person who is a mumar with a lot of chutzpah. We say that he's considered like a nachri, and he's not allowed to be mevatel rishus. Then we say Amar Rav Huna. Ezahu Yisrael Mumer. Who is considered a Yisrael Mumer? In other words, a Mumer L'chala Terekula. We say, Ezahu HaMachal Shabbos B'Farhesya, that a person is Machal Shabbos in front of 10 people. The Gemara then says, Mekablin Karbanis Mipaisha Yisrael Kedei Sheyachzru B'Tshuva. We're able to be, we're Mekabal Karbanis from people who were Chayta, in order so they could be Chayzer B'Tshuva. This applies to everybody except for three people. One, a Mumer L'chala Terekula. Two, Menasech Yayin, and three, a Machal Shabbos B'Farhesya. We paskin in Shulchan Aruch Shin Pehe that a Machal Shabbos B'Farhesya is considered a Mumer L'chala Terekula, and he's considered an Achri. Therefore, he cannot be Mevatel Rishus. And it's Usur, if he does not participate in an Erev, it's Usur to use the Erev until he is Yisker Es Mekayme, unless he rents out his area for you. Then we have a Mishnah that says, Anshei Chatzer Sheshachach Echad Mehem. Anshei Chatzer, one person in the Chatzer forgot to participate. And this is referring, as the Gemara says, to a case that this person who forgot was Bitel Es Reshutzai B'Chatzer. He was Mevatel as Reshus in the Chatzer, but he was not Mevatel as Reshus in his Bais. So we say, Beisai Asur Lahachnis Ulhaitzi. His house, of course, is Asur to go in and out, because his house was not, he was not Mevatel his house at all. So it's Asur for anybody to go in or out of his house. Ubei some, but everybody else's house, is mutar loy v'lahem. It's mutar to everybody. Why? Because everybody else's house is now part of the bitl rishus. Since the chutzer, he was mevatel the chutzer to everybody else, so now this chutzer, which is outside of all of their houses, is now considered belonging to them. So everybody can walk in or out of their own houses, but his house cannot be walked in or out of, since he was never mevatel rishus on his house. And we also say in the Gemara that mevatel reshus chatzera, a person who's mevatel reshus of his chatzer, reshus beisai lebitel. We don't automatically say that the reshus of his house is batel. We then have a machs when a person is allowed to be mevatel reshus. According to Beis Shammai, a person can only be mevatel reshus on Erev Shabbos. And as we mentioned before, according to Beis Hillel, a person can be mevatel reshus even on Shabbos itself. We then say chad legabi chamisha havi ereach. One person in relation to five people is considered an areach by all five, but chamisha legabi chad lehavi areach. Five people to one person, by one person, those people are not considered areach. Tafayin. We have the shita of Rabba, which says hamavatel tzarech levatel lekol echad v'yechad. When a person mevatel rishus, he has to be mevatel rishus to each and every one of the people that are involved in this particular chatzer. We then have a question according to the Shita of Beis Hillel. As we mentioned before, according to Beis Hillel, Bittel Rishus is okay to do on Shabbos. Now the question is, let's take a person who is a Yerush. A person who is Yerush land on Shabbos itself? Can he now be mevatel the reshus of this newly acquired land on Shabbos? And basically the question here really is, mevatel reshus, is that totally in what the situation was on Erev Shabbos? We know according to Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to be mevatel reshus on Shabbos, but you have to do it on Erev Shabbos. But according to Beis Hillel, you could be mevatel on Shabbos. The question is, since this Yerush didn't really own this land on Erev Shabbos itself, does that mean that he can't be mevatel reshus on Shabbos because he didn't own it? Or it doesn't really matter. The fact is that now he owns it, so since according to Beis Hillel, you can be mevatel reshus on Shabbos, that's enough, and you can be mevatel reshus anyway. So the lechatchila we really want to say, had he been able to be mevatel on Erev Shabbos, it would have been okay. But maybe since he couldn't be mevatel on Erev Shabbos, now he can't be mevatel on Shabbos, even though we hold you could be mevatel on Shabbos. We say, according to Reb Nachman, it's okay to be mevatel it now anyways, because we say, Shabbos, kivan shehutra, hutra. Since we were matir it on Erev Shabbos, now it doesn't matter whether he could have or he couldn't have on Erev Shabbos, but since we were mevatel it, kivan shehutra, hutra, now that he acquired it on Shabbos, he could be mevatel it on Shabbos. Dafayin Alf. According to Beis Hillel, we say that it's mutter to be mevatel reshus on Shabbos mamish, and we see this from the case of klach etzel yafis. We consider it as if it was there before Shabbos. This is the case in Bava Metzia. We then have a Mishnah that says, Baal Bayis shehu shutav l'shchenav, l'zeh b'yayin u'l'zeh b'yayin. If a Baal Bas was a shutav to a shchenav, one person he was a shutav with yayin. The other person he was a shutav in yayin, you do not need an erev. Let's say he was a shutav to one with yayin and to the other with shemen. Then we say, you do need an erev. However, according to Reb Shimon, we say it doesn't matter. Either case, whether it was with yayin and shemen, whether it was with both yayin, either case, you do not need an Erev. The Gemara then brings down a case. Shemen, Shagaf, Al-Gabi, Yayin. Let's say there was a Kli. Let's say there was a Kli which had Shemen and Yayin. And then a person who was a Tfur Yayim now was Matama, and he touched the Shemen. So according to the Rabbanan, we say he only passels the Shemen. He does not passel the Yayin, because after all, he only touched the Shemen. He did not touch the Yayin. However, according to Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri, we say Shnei'en Chiburin, they're both considered attached to one another. Therefore, once he touches the Shemen, he passes both the Shemen and the Yayin. And we say that Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah that we mentioned before is going according to Rabbi Yechanan ben Nuri. Because according to him, it's as if we're saying all three people are like one big Shutfis. Therefore, they don't need a Shitufei Muvayis. The same thing that we see by the Yayin and the Shemen. We then have a Machloikis if we're Seimchin Al Shitufe Mevayis B'makam Erev, one instead of the other, or vice versa, or do you really need both or not? And we say we paskin like Remeir, that Ein Seimchin Al Shituf B'makam Erev, and vice versa. So you can't rely on one instead of the other, but if you actually need both, then you need both, and you can't have just one or the other. We then say Ma'arvin B'chotzer Rak B'pas V'lei B'yayin. Aval Shitufe Mevayis can be either with pas or with yayin. Dafayin Beis. We have a machlokes here with a klal of misipas, which is short walls. Then we have a mishnah that says, "Achin shahayu oichlan al shulchan avihem." Brothers which ate at the table of their father. If there are no other people living around this chotzer, then they do not need an erev because they're being samech on the fact that they're eating together by their father. Then we have the gemara that says, "Is it the makom lina that is garam? What is it that constitutes? What is it that triggers the potential of having to put up an Erev? Is it the place where you eat, or is it the place where you sleep?" Shmuel holds the Makom Lina, the place where you sleep. Makom Lina is Garen. And Rav Paskin's Makom Pita, the place where you're eating. We Paskin like Rav, that it's the Makom Pita that is Garen, the Erev. Tafayin Gimel. Noshim v'avadim kibikablim prasmi baleham. Regarding an Erev, Noshim and Avadim, under their Baal, are considered all as part of one jurisdiction of the Baal, regarding an Erev, as long as they eat by him. This, we say, shows Makom Pita is Garim. We then ask Trum Shabbos, the 2,000 Amos of a Trum Shabbos, is this counted Mimakom Lina or Makom Pita? We then have the Shita of Remeir, that a person that we need both an Erev and a Shitufei Mevayis, and the Shita of Rabbanan, that Erev is Sagi, or Shitufei Mevayis is Sagi. You don't necessarily need both. The issue here really is that the reason Rameir requires both is because Rameir was afraid, Shalai Tishtachech Teres Erev. We were afraid that if we would just say Shitufei Mevayis is good enough, people would forget that there's an Indian of making an Erev at all. But technically, if it wouldn't be for this fear that Rameir had, he would be might have that only one is okay. We say that Bitul Rishus is also okay by Shitufei Mavayis. Then we say Kol Shituf She'ein Machnisin Umaitziyai Derech Psachim B'Mavoy Leish Mei Shituf. The Gemara says, Omar Rav, Ein Mavoy Niter B'Lechi Eikaira Ad Shehe Shtei Batim L'Kol Chatzer U'Shtei Chatzeres L'Mavoy. In other words, Batim V'Chatzeres Paischim L'Seichai. In order for you to use a Lechi Eikaira to be Mater this Mavoy, you need Batim and Chatzeres, and they both have to pour out and spill out into one and each other. The Rambam and the Rif hold like the Shita of Rav, and the Rush goes Lekula. And the Mishnah Berurah in Shin Samach Gimel Paskin is like the Rush. Dafayin Dalet. According to Rav Shimon, we say we only need an Erev from a house to a Chatzar to carry Kalim that were in one of these houses before Shabbos. In other words, that it was Shabbos B'Sei Chabayis. But let's say the Kalim were already in the Chatzar, then they can be transferred even into a different Chatzar without an Erev. Tafayin Hey. We say Diras Akum is Leish Mei Dira. And we say Asur Laseis Yachid B'Makam Akum. We're so worried that an individual person should not live with an Akum. The reason for this is Achshash Shema Yilmoid Mimaisav. We're afraid if one Jew lives together with Goyim, he may learn from his ways, and we're afraid of that. Then we have a Mishnah that says Shtei Chatzeres Zu Lifnim Mizu. And I will touch up this Mishnah Al Pi V'Derech and the Gemara. You have two chatzeres. One is a chatzer apnimis, and one is a chatzer chitzayna. The chitzayna is the one that opens up into a mavoi or into a rishus harabim. What ends up happening is there's the inner chatzer and there's the outer chatzer. It turns out that the inner chatzer has drisas haregel, the chatzer hachitzayna. Meaning to say that the people who live in the chatzer apnimis have to go through the chatzer hachitzayna in order to get out into the Mavoy or into the Rishus HaRabim. So we say, Irva HaPnimis, let's say we made a Chatzar, we made an Erev around this Chatzar HaPnimis. They made an Erev for themselves, so that they should be able to carry in his Chatzar. V'le Irva HaChitzayna, but the people on the outside did not make an Erev around this outside Chatzar. HaPnimis Muteris. The people who made the Erev around their Pnimis, they are allowed to carry within their Chatzar. Why? Because they made an Erev. But the people in the Chitzayin are not allowed to carry because they didn't make an Erev around there, Chatzar. HaChitzayinah v'lei apnimis. Let's say the people on the outside made an Erev, but the people on the inside did not make an Erev. So shteihem asurei. So we say both the pnimis is asur. Why? Obviously because the pnimis didn't make an Erev. And the Chitzayinah is also asur. What about the fact that they made an Erev? Why should they be asur? We say that they're asur too because of the drisus haregel of the people in the pnimis that walk through it. Because we say, regel ha-asura bimkaima, asura gam shalei bimkaima, hayel u-drisasei aleha. That since these people on the inside, asur bimkaima, they asur on their own because they didn't make an Erev, they also asur shalei bimkaima, they also asur for the people that are in the chitzayna. Because since eventually they're making Jesus haregel through the chitzayna, they ask for the chitzayna also. Irv azula atzma v'zula atzma. Let's say each of the two, the pnimis made an erev for themselves, the chitzayna made an erev for themselves, but they didn't make an erev between the two of them. Zumu teres bifnei atzma v'zumu teres bifnei atzma. Each one is mutter to walk within their own chatzer, but they're not allowed to walk through the other chatzeres. What about the fact that Teresa's Haregel of the Pnimis is going through the Chitzayna? How is that going to be Mutter? He says, that's okay. Why? Because for that we say, Regel HaMuteris B'mkayma, Eina Yisera Shalei B'mkayma. Regel HaMuteris B'mkayma, since the Regel of the Pnimis is Mutter B'mkayma, Eina Yisera Shalei B'mkayma. It can't now be Aser, it can't come to be Aser, the Chitzayna. Rabbi Akiva Yisera HaChitzayna. Rabbi Akiva argues on this. Rabbi Akiva says, in this kind of a case, it would even come to Aser, the Pnimis would be Mutter, because they have an Erev, but the Chitzayna would be Aser. What about the fact that the Pnimis is Mutter for itself? Still in all, it Asers the Chitzayna. Why? Because we say, Shadrisis HaRegel Aisrasa. According to Rabbi Akiva, it comes out, Regel HaMuteres B'mkayimai is Aser Shalei B'mkayimai. Finally, we have the Shita of the Chachamim, who say, Ein Drisis HaRegel Aisrasa. So according to the Chachamim, even Irva Hachitzaina of Aleha Pnimis, the Chitzaina would be mutter to be metaltal on your chatzer. Why? Because Ein Hapnimis Aiseras al Chitzaina Machmas Drisus a Regal Shriyesh Labataycha. In other words, according to the Chachamim, they hold Regal Hasur Bimkaima Ein Aiseras Shle Bimkaima. This is the most cool of the Keshita. And we end up paskening like the Tanakama, who holds Regal Hasur Bimkaima Aiseras Shle Bimkaima. But Regal Hamuteras Bimkaima Ein Aiseras Shle Bimkaima. We then have a couple of important klolim here, achto dasha umishtamsha, that it's possible if two chatzeros are attached to one another, one of the chatzeros could simply close the door from the other and be matir its own chatzer. And finally we have the klol of l'tikunei shitufei secha v'loi la'avasi. Basically, people make eruvim to help themselves, not to hurt themselves. So if a person makes an eruv, technically it shouldn't be able to hurt him, it could only help. We say according to Rabbi Akiva, according to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva, which we had before in the Mishnah, we know that although he's a little bit lachumra, in the case of Zer Yisair of Latzma, Vezer Yisair of Latzma, but still in all, there's a way around that. You could still get a heter through Bittul Rishus. We then have a case, Beis Chatzeres V'Gimel Batim Beinehem, Zeba Derech Zeh, Zeba Derech Zeh, We say you can put the Erev in the middle of the three houses, there are three houses in the middle. You put the Erev in the middle house, and that's enough, that's all you need. Tafayin Vav. Badak Luhu Rachva, the Rabbanan. We say that Rachva gave a test to the Rabbanan. He brought down a case, and this case was two chatzeres and two batim. How are these set up? Going, let's say, from west to east, you have a chatzer on the left, on the western end. Then you have a bayis, number one. Then you have bayis, number two. And then you have another chatzer all the way on the east. So these four things are going. Chatzer, bayis, bayis, and then chatzer. So let's say bayis number one. You have chatzer A, bayis one, bayis two, and chatzer B, going in that order from left to right. Let's say bayis number one put their Erev in chatzer B. So now they didn't put it in the first bias. They put the Erev actually in Chatzer B. So they have to go through bias number two to get to Chatzer B. And bias number two put their Erev in Chatzer A. Meaning to say that bias two has to go through bias one to get to this Chatzer. So does this work or does this not work? So let's take, for example, bias number one. Bias number one put their Erev in Chatzer B. In order to get to Chatzer B, bias number one has to go through bias number two. So now we have to ask, what exactly is the status of bias number two? If you want to say that bias number two is considered a bias, quote-unquote, so bias one wouldn't be able to walk through bias two, because bias two is now a bias without an Erev. Let's say you want to say, bias number two is not considered a bias. Bias number two is really a base shar, is really a gatehouse. It's only a gatehouse to lead you to Chatzer B, but it's not considered a bias. It would also be no good, since you're not allowed to put an Erev in a base shar. So and either way you look at this, this wouldn't work. So the question we have here is, why don't we consider this a tarti desasri? And say that sometimes the house is considered a bias. When it works to that advantage, we consider it a bias. When it works to the other way, we consider it a chatzer. In other words, why can't a house play two roles? Lagabi, the chatzer that has the Erev, that house is considered a makam dira, so therefore it's an Erev kasher. But Lagabi the other chatzer, it's only a base shar. Therefore, it's not considered a hafsaka. And we want to bring a raya from Shabbos, the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Daled. If two people asked one person to make an Erev Tchumin, so for the first one, he made the Erev Tchumin Mibad Yom. And for the second one, he made the Erev Tchumin Ben Hashmashas. So the first person's Erev that he made Mibad Yom, however, the Erev was eaten up during the Ben Hashmashas. And for the second person, we made the Erev Ben Hashmashas, the Erev was eaten up during Laila. So we say it's a Tarti Desasri. And for both, we say that the Erev is considered good. For the first person, we say that the period of Ben Hashmashas was considered already Laila. Therefore, when it was eaten up, it was already Laila. So the Erev was made by Yom, and it wasn't eaten up to Laila. But for the second person, we say that the Ben Hashmashas was considered Yom. Therefore, it was established already. It was already, this is Spanish mashmas, when it was established, it was already established during Yom, and it wasn't eaten till Lila, which is exactly how you need it. We know that the Erev has to be established during the period of Spanish mashmas. So we answer, by bias, we can't say this, since a bias is considered a davar sheyesh be'mamish. So we're afraid, mili de rabbanan ki chucha be'itlula. People are going to come out and be mezalzel the words of the rabbanan, because we're playing tricks with this. The house is standing there, and people can see the house standing there. So what are you going to say? That sometimes it's a house and sometimes it's considered a Beis Shar? We can't be makel on that. But Shankim, we're talking about a Tati Desasri. By Erev Tchumen, in that case, nobody really knows the difference, because it's not a Dabar Shiesh by Mamish. It's only a question of when the timing was. In that case, we would be allowed to do this. In Simon Shin Tzadik Gimel, we say that this Indian of Tati Desasri is only by two people, but not by one person who placed an Erev during Bein HaShemashes, and it was eaten during the same Bein HaShemashes. In that case, you can't pretend that it was placed during the Yom, but it was eaten during the Laila, because it's all got to be one person. We also bring down Taisvis, the Rabbeinu Tam and Taisvis in the Gemara and Brachas Daf Beis, that the reason we can daven Marav before it gets dark is because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, that the Zman Mincha is still Plag HaMincha, but it's not considered later. After Plag HaMincha, it's already considered the Zman of Marav. So Rabbeinu Tam asks, so how are we allowed to daven Mincha till the nighttime? So we answer that we paskin like the Rabbanan who hold, we also paskin like the Rabbanan who hold, that the Zman Mincha is Ado Erev. Since we see the Gemara in Brachas that there's no Psak, we don't know. Do we paskin like the Rabbanan? Do we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda? So we say, Le Kemar, V'Le Kemar. And we say, Diavid Kemar, Avid. Diavid Kemar, Avid. We say, Tati Desasri. Technically, you can paskin like both. Therefore, that's how come you're allowed to daven mincha until it's mamish and mamish gets dark, but you could also daven marav before it gets dark. This is the end of the sixth parak of Masechta Erevin. Now we will begin the seventh parak of Masechta Erevin, parak Chalain, and this is in the middle of Daf Ayin Vav. Amid Aleph. As a hakdama to this parak deals with cases of two chatzeres that are next to one another. And the question here is, do we have to make one Erev for each of the two chatzeres? Or will one Erev for both chatzeres together suffice? So do you need two separate Erevim, or is one enough? And basically the premise here of this parak is if there is a mechitza, that is taka, a real valid mechitza between the two chatzeres, then generally you will need two separate Eruvim. However, if they're really connected in some way or another, then you may be able to get away with only doing one Eruv, and you will not need two Eruvim. So this Mishnah says, Chalain shebein beis chatzeres bikir. Let's say there's a wall between the two chatzeres. And in the middle of this wall, you have a chalain, you have a window. So we say in that kind of a case, you can make two if you want, or you may even be able to get away with making just one Eruv. However, this is only if this window that we're talking about is bigger than 4x4 tvachim and is within 10 tvachim of the ground. Then, if it's taka that big, then it's considered enough of a pesach, enough of an opening, that possibly one Erev would be considered enough. Then we have the Gemara brings down a number of cases. The Gemara says, chaloin ogol, a round window, needs a circumference of at least 24 tvachim to be considered big enough to be a pesach. We say that a circumference of a circle is equal to 3 times the diameter. Technically, this is really 3.14 times the diameter. We say that if we have a circle within a square, the square has 1/4 more space than the space of the circle that is within it. And we say that a diagonal of a 1 tefach, a square that is 1 tefach on each side, is 1 2/5 of a tefach. We then have a Mishnah that says, Kaisel shebein shtei chatzeres gavaya asara bracha v'arba. If you say you have a kaisel, which is 10 tvachim tall and is at least 4 tvachim wide, then that's considered enough of a wall, enough of a partition, that you now need 2 eruvim for the 2 separate chatzeres, and 1 eruv would not be considered enough, would not suffice. Let's say on top of this wall you had peris. So we say that people could go up from either side, and they can eat from the peris, but they're not allowed to come down with any of the pears. Let's say that this wall had a big pirtz in it. as long as this piyutza was not more than 10 amas wide, this piyutza that's in the wall that's between these two chatzeres, then you have a choice. You could either make two separate eruvim. Why? Because technically each chatzer is a rishus by itself. Or if you want, you can make one eruv. Why is that so? Because now that you have this piyutza, it's considered like an opening, which makes the two mesh together into one big chatzer. Let's say the break is more than 10 amas, then ma'ariv and echad, then you definitely need only one eruv, since they're both now meshed in one chatzer with the other, because there's a break that's bigger than 10 amas between them. Nafayin Zayin. What we refer to in the Mishnah as a kaisel, as a wall. Let's say we have a wall that is less than 4 tzvachim wide. According to Rav, neither side is allowed to use it. According to Rabbi Yochanan, they're allowed to use it. Why? Because now that it's less than 4 tzvachim, it becomes a makom patur. Therefore, you're allowed to carry from or to it. Then in the Gemara we say, Kaisel shebein shtei chatzeres, tzidei echad gavaya asara, tzidei echad shabal aretz. One side of the wall, the land ends up coming to a point where it's equivalent with it. And the other side of the wall, it's actually a distance of 10 tefachim. So which side is allowed to use it? We say, in other words, the side that shovel arts. We always, the general rule is, and we see this in Gemara's later on, the general rule is we always give it to the one who it's easier to get to. In other words, the side where it's shove arts. And the same halacha would apply to cases where we have later on about a chritz. The Gemara then says, "Davar hanitl b'Shabbos ena mamayit," something which is carryable on Shabbos, something which is portable on Shabbos, cannot help to be mamayit the height of a kaisel. You have to have something which is kavua, something which is set in place. The Gemara then says, "Tiltum min atzad is mutar on Shabbos," as we know this from Masechta Shabbos. We also say that a kaisel which is between two chatzeres and there's a sulam, a ladder coming up to it from one side, and a sulam from the other side. So we say that an Erev, one Erev is okay. Why? Since you have a Sulam on each side, it's considered like they're actually connected with one another. Finally, the Gemara says, Itzdaba, which are balconies, or a ladder, which are sort of hanging in the air. The Gemara asks if these are able to be mamayit the height of this wall or not. Dafayin Ches. Ziz, which is a platform, Hayotzimina Kaisel, or ladders, and the Gemara has a whole discussion of those. The Gemara then says, Amad versus Harabim, which is Gavaya Asara Varechav Dalet. This is considered like a rishus hayachid. Let's say you stick a nail into it, you put a yeset into it, and this is more than gimel tvachim. This could help be memayit in this amud. And now this amud may not be a rishus hayachid anymore because it doesn't have the full height of asara and the reichav of dalet. Rav Ashi says, even if it's less than gimel, it can be memayit in the wall. Why? Because it now has a usage. What is that usage? It can be used as a hook to hang things on. She'efsha letalia, as the Gemara says. The Gemara then talks about whether you can use a ladder on Shabbos. And we say a general rule. This depends on what the ladder is made out of. And the general rule is as follows. Kol she'isur Shabbos garim le. Anything that is made out of material, which is usur because of a reason that has to do with Shabbos, you're not allowed to use that for a sulam on Shabbos. This, for example, would be a tree. If a ladder was made out of a tree, since we know a tree is usur to be used on Shabbos, therefore you can't use a ladder made out of a tree on Shabbos. Abel kol she'isur acher garim le. Then it's mostly shtamish the sulam b'shabbos. Anything where some other type of iser could potentially make this aser, in other words, an asherah, a tree which is used for an asherah, that's aser for avodah zarah. That's an iser achem garimle. That you could use for a sulam on Shabbos, since it has nothing to do with Shabbos. Some people learn just the opposite halacha, as this, but they say if iser Shabbos is garim, then you are allowed to use it. If iser Shabbos is not garim, you're not allowed to use it. Then we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says if you have a ditch that is 10 tvachim deep and 4 tvachim wide, and this separates two chatzeres, if you place a board across it, in other words, to act as a bridge, then he has a choice. He could either make two separate eruv chatzeres or one eruv chatzeres to consider it into one large area. And the Gemara goes on to say that tevin, straw, can serve as stima, as a closure, to stop up a chritz on Shabbos. But according to Rashi, he has to say that he'll leave it there. It's not just enough that he puts it there on Shabbos, but he has to be willing to leave it there. Dafayin Tes. Shtei gus terais, two balconies. Rashi says that this is referring to a case that they're next to each other. And the Ritva says this is referring to a case where they're across the street from each other. If they're connected with a board that's more than 4 tefachim wide, it's considered like a connection, and only one Erev is needed. Then we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah refers to a case of a maskein, which is a haystack. If this is more than 10 tefachim tall, and it is between two chatzeres, then we consider this as a separation between the two. Let's say we have animals, for example, that now eat from the straw, and now the animals eat it to a point where it's now less than 10 tefachim, then you would make one eruv, because now it's not like there's a separation anymore. In Shulchan Aruch we say that in order for it to be considered eaten to a point where now you make only one eruv, because it's not considered a mechitza anymore, it has to have been eaten before Shabbos. But if, let's say, it was eaten on Shabbos, before Shabbos it was 11 tefachim tall. Now on Shabbos the animals eat it and it comes down to 9 tefachim. Then we say it doesn't matter, and it's still considered a mechitza, because we say kivan, Shabbos, kivan, shehutra, hutra. Once it was mutter and it was considered a mechitza before Shabbos separating them, it's considered a mechitza even on Shabbos, even if it gets reduced on Shabbos itself. Then we say, mamet adam es behemta al gabi asavim b'Shabbos. A person is allowed to put his animal on grass on Shabbos, but ein mamidin al gabi muktzah. He's not allowed to put the animal on muktzah on Shabbos. And the reason we say this is because since kaitzer is a midaraisa, a person won't accidentally rip out grass on Shabbos. Therefore, he's allowed to put his animal on there on Shabbos. But since muktzah is only derabbanan, we're afraid if he puts his animal on the muktzah, he'll come to be over an iser, because he doesn't realize how chashiv this iser is. We then say that a straw pile between two houses, which is more than 10 tefachim, it's okay for each side to use a basket to feed their animals by hand, and we're not worried that they'll reduce the height below 10 tefachim. The Gemara then says, "Ein mevatlin v'chayzun mevatlin ba'isa Shabbos," which is something we had already before. And we bring down the shita of Rabbi Akiva, who holds that tchum Shabbos is midaraisa. We then have a Mishnah that says, "Ketzad mishtatvin b'mavi." What is an easy way to actually do a shitufe mevayis in a very simple way? So we say, "Meniach es hachavis." One places a barrel containing his own food. And he says specifically, this is for all residents of the mavi, and he's mezaket for everybody. So the Mishnah says that he's allowed to do this, but if he wants to be mezaket, he can not only be mezaket himself, but he's allowed to do it al yidei benai, ubitai hagdailam, and his wife, and etc. People that are right to do these types of things. But he's not allowed to do it al yidei ketanim, the shivchase ketanis, etc. Finally, the Gemara says, "Tarti mili sabi de pumpadisa." There were two things that were said, two strong things that were propounded by the people of Pumpadisa, by the older people, the elders of Pumpadisa. One is chavis shal shitufim mevayis tzarek lag biyamin akarka tefach. Anything in a shitufim mevayis, a chavis that gets used, has to be picked up from the ground more than one tefach. And hamakadish tzarek mali lugmav. When a person makes kiddush, he has to drink a mali lugmav. And we say that for a person who's very big, who has a very big mouth, the maximum he has to drink is a revius haloik. Not only that, they also said two other things. Aisa medura l'chayla b'Shabbos. You're allowed to make a fire for a chayla on Shabbos, even during the summer, when technically it's warm outside. And not only that, we also ask, Eza hi asherah. What is considered an asherah? What constitutes a tree that's called an asherah for avodah zarah? Any time that they watch it very carefully, and they don't eat from its fruits. That is the end of Daf Ayin Tes, and with this we will conclude this year.